Robbie Williams, Atlantic Fire. Not a name I'm familiar with. Mm. Could you tell us a bit about who was Robbie Williams?
Well, the fact that you're not familiar with him is the very reason that we're having the exhibition, because he's an artist who was based in Britain from 1952, and he died in 1990. So he should be seen alongside other British artists like John Hoyland, Patrick Hilton. He's of that generation, practicing in the main in London. And I think it's a real tragedy that his work has been not as well known as those other British artists. And so for that reason, I've been looking for an opportunity, really, to show his work. Tate, as you know, initiated the Liverpool and the Black Atlantic season. And because Williams was born in Guyana and his influences do indeed cover the whole Black Atlantic, he's influenced by things as varied as the music of Shostakovich to Mayan and Central and South American cultures, which are a driving force for him, really. But he was also quite political and very interested in the Caribbean artist movement, involved in the Caribbean artist movement. So he is a sort of Black Atlantic figure, if you like. So it seemed like the perfect opportunity to bring his work to a wider public.
Yes, the Black Atlantic thing, this is the thing that's going on all through the spring with mostly Liverpool Art Gallery's sort of involved and working together, which is very unusual, not just Liverpool, but for any city. I think someone said it doesn't even happen in London, it's quite unique. So how does that come about?
I think it comes about, actually, because we have good relationships as individuals with the different art venues. And I think this was a great idea that Tate had, and I think everyone in the other venues also could see ways in which we could do something that wasn't duplicating but was relevant, and as I say, this for us is a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's about the influence of Black artists through the 20th century, is that right?
Well, I think each exhibition is different. So Afro-Modern at Tate will be different to our exhibition here and telling a different story. This exhibition is actually more about correcting an injustice of the art world, really, and bringing to prominence an important British artist. I mean, this is an artist who should be seen as one of our major post-war British painters, and who should be seen as an international artist. So I wouldn't say that this exhibition is purely about bringing Black art, if you like, to the public. He is a Black artist, but he's also much more than that. And in a sense, if anything, what this exhibition demonstrates, and particularly the catalogue, the two essays in the catalogue that you should read, both of those essays demonstrate that for quite complex reasons to do with his background, and also to do with the way that he merged figuration with abstraction, he ended up being overlooked when he should not have been and should be seen as a great artist.
Yeah, I've had a look around. I think it's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Really colourful and bright and... I was thinking that the previous exhibition here was the Bridget Riley, which was visually challenging to my eyes anyway. And some of these are as well, some of them look quite blurred, you know, as if they're blurred.
Well, he does have that amazing ability to merge forms. Yeah. And a good example is this one. Talk about it. We were talking to our conservators, actually, and they were saying that they very rarely see some of the complex technical effects that you actually get in these paintings. Yeah. So something that he does throughout his whole career is this sort of bubbly effect, which is produced by using very fluid paint. He actually uses oil paint in some places, a bit like watercolour,
so
allowing the wash to run. Go on.
Yeah. So did he actually record how he produced these effects?
No. As far as I know, we don't have it, so we're trying to work it out.
Right.
And there's a real distinction within one canvas between very areas of very thin fluid paint and then thick impasto.
Yeah.
And in this painting, you can also see there's this amazingly difficult, technically, wash applied over another layer of paint, but allowing some of that layer of paint to show through in a very distinct and sharp-edged way. And it's that sharp edge that is quite difficult to achieve in oil paint. So he is technically quite virtuoso.
The painting we're looking at is Mayer Matrix 2.
Yes.
And there's quite a few paintings influenced by the Mayer civilization. He seems to be quite an expert on it.
He was. It all started when he actually started out as an agricultural field officer.
Right.
That was his first job. He'd drawn and painted from the age of five or thereabouts, but in Guyana, being a professional artist wasn't a very clear way to make a living. So he initially started out as an agricultural officer, and as part of that job he was sent to a very remote region called Hosororo, well, a village called Hosororo, in a remote part of northwest Guyana. And there he actually lived amongst the Warao indigenous people. And they are descendants, if you like, of the indigenous Central and South American cultures, and they still practiced art based using very natural pigments and used art in ritual. And although they're Christian, they used to secretly, apparently, continue to create these images and these works. And so he felt, and he was inspired by that, to get to know more about all of the Central and South American cultures and their approach to art. And that experience of living there, absorbing that culture, made him realise that for him, his art was going to be about that, and it made him make that decision to become a professional artist.
I'm here with Leon Wainwright from Manchester.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and what your role is in this exhibition?
Well, I'm the external curator for the exhibition. I'm Dr. Leon Wainwright. I'm a senior lecturer in History of Art and Design at Manchester Metropolitan University in the School of Art. And there's a central element of the exhibition that derives from research that I've done in the Caribbean, in Guyana, and amongst artists of black and Asian backgrounds in Britain. And Williams is one of those. He's a foremost member of that post-war development in Britain, of artists who came from various colonies in Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean, and established themselves and attempted to establish themselves in Britain as painters and sculptors. He's an exciting figure. The concept for the show derives from the research that I've done, transatlantic research, looking at Britain, looking at the Caribbean, and questions of modernism and contemporary art. The Atlantic fire idea is very much about the presence of fire and light and elements in William's work, but also the way in which he moved between different contexts. So he's in several places at once, not just geographically, but kind of in the history of art. He's in the history, the national history of art in Guyana. He's in the national history of art in Britain. And he sort of straddles those different locations, as well as having a North American, a United States kind of connection too. So he's one of these artists that, in his day, exemplified the sort of things that we look for in artists today, their ability to move from place to place, their kind of multiple locatedness, very much sort of not fitting with the framework of his day, in the sense that it seemed difficult to locate him in one or other place. People felt they had to choose, and he never wanted to choose. You know, he'd paint in Britain and he'd send paintings back to the Caribbean. He'd go to the Caribbean, he'd take part in exhibitions there, and he'd be here in Britain and in other places too.
So he's not been exhibited much in Britain at all?
Well, there was a major retrospective of him at the Whitechapel in 1998. And during the 1960s to the early 70s, he was one of a group of artists and writers from the Caribbean
who formed
the Caribbean Artist Movement.
That's right.
And held exhibitions and meetings and seminars to try and understand what it meant to be a Caribbean person in Britain at that time, practicing in the area of fine art and in conversation with people in literature and in kind of creative writing. So he was one of a much larger group of people who kind of moved to Britain and tried to assert a presence here.
I suppose in your research you must have uncovered an awful lot of artists that are well worth showing you on quite a few exhibitions, couldn't you?
Well, you could, but why Williams in particular? Well, that's the question really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the sheer volume of work he produced, painted endlessly, and there's a running thread in his work. This is what we're trying to bring out with the idea of fire in the work. It's a continually burning kind of flame in his work. I mean, in the catalogue to the exhibition, I write about, in the essay Atlantic Fire, I talk about the way in which he fitted in two contexts within modernism, but also within a critique of modernism, and how in his practice you can see that he's not aiming for naturalism. He's trying to go for a kind of an overall total aesthetic experience in the work. But at the same time, he'll sort of intersperse that sort of abstraction with these figurative elements. And that's, I think, what makes him so surprising.
Only a few bits of figurative work, and I really like it. I'd like to see more of the figurative
stuff. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's not going for the either-or. You know, he's going for the and. Yeah. It's abstract and it's figurative. Yeah. And when we look back at what people said about him in the 50s and 60s, you know, when critics saw his work, and they overwhelmingly sort of resorted to stereotypes about Africanness. He never went to Africa, you know. And he also made sure he never really painted anything that, as it were, signified an African identity. And so we've got a clever sort of sleight of hand in his work where he takes these Amerindian or indigenous elements and sort of reworks them on another framework. So he's really, I think he's really surprising, you know. This is the first exhibition of its kind in the sense that it's in a national museum, and you know it's funded nationally, and it's you know people are going to come hopefully from all over to see it.
Yeah, it is in conjunction with the October Gallery, isn't it?
Which, yeah, that's right.
I think they represent.
They do. They represent Aubrey Williams and his estate, and they've kind of kept the flag flying really for Aubrey Williams since his death, and kept. Every few years they'll have a show of his work. I remember going to an amazing show of works on paper and this kind of thing we're seeing.
The watercolour
corner. Yeah. Well, it's watercolour and gouached together. And, you know, very surprising kind of abstract work that looks very much like pieces that we just wouldn't see in this country. They're in Guyana. He did a mural at the International Airport in Guyana. Which was really the first thing you saw when you arrived in the newly independent Guyana. Right. Was William's signature was on it. Right. So he's very much embraced in Guyana as a sort of national figure.
Right.
And we've been trying to assert his presence as a national figure in Britain too, at the same time.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.